Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the New World Oilers podcast brought to you by DraftKings and DraftKings Sportsbook. I'm your host, Mr. X. Let's talk Oilers, playoffs edition.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Okay, Oilers fans, Oilers Nation, welcome. It's happy days here in the city of champions, or soon-to-be champions, as the Oilers lay a ass-kicking to the LA Kings in Game 1 of the Monday Night Brawl. And what a game it was, 7-4. 5 points for Connor McDavid. A hat trick for Zach Hyman. Also 4 points. 4 points for Evan Bouchard. So, you know, it was a good night all in all. I would say that the Kings really, they didn't play well. But you know what? The Oilers didn't either, though. The Oilers didn't play up to, you know, what they could. And they still went roof daddy on Cam Talbot all fucking night. It was beautiful. It was amazing, you know. As Oilers fans, we're not used to the Oil winning game ones of series. You know, the last one was probably, what, against, I think, Anaheim back in 2017. But, man, does it feel good. And, you know, there's a feeling, I think, around that this time against the Kings, you know, Oilers-Kings 3, I don't think anybody's worried or even sweating. Right? Like, the Kings are a worse team. They made that Vilardi and Iafallo trade. They got Pierre-Luc Dubois. Edvitz is on the L because he's a fucking loser. I think it's going to be a cakewalk for the Oilers. I'm not going to say exactly what I think just yet because we're going to do some playoff predictions in a bit here. But man, oh man, what a game. Even Skinner, you know, he played pretty well. The goals against for the Oilers, you know, one went off Nurse, not really the Oilers' fault, right? So, and then that broken stick by CeCe, what are you doing there? You know, the stick breaks, he puts his hand on it, tosses it to the middle of the ice, a Kings player gets it, snipes it, you know, it wasn't their best game defensively. I mean, even offensively, you know, like, I think that they really took the foot off the gas at some points in the game. There's another level that they could reach, honestly. And even Connor McDavid talked about it post game. He said, you know, that wasn't even our best game. We have more things to, you know, basically under the covers, you know, that they haven't shown yet. And I don't think they're going to really show their hand unless they really need to. Their power play was clicking a little bit, but all around, all in all, the LA Kings just don't have it this year. They're an aging team. Kopitar and Doughty, that's their core, right? And those guys are well past 30 years old. And then you have the really young guys like Byfield, right? And it just doesn't help them between the pipes. They have nobody. Cam Talbot and, you know, Big Save Dave. Yeah, that team does not scare me at the least. The Oilers, they may have a knock on wood clear path to the Western Conference Finals. I would not want to be in the Central Division right now. It's just a bunch of behemoths battling it out. Winnipeg against Colorado. They tied up the series tonight 1-1. And who else? The other one is Dallas and Vegas, right? So I wouldn't expect Dallas to go away quickly, you know, or quietly. Vegas may lead right now, but it was a close game. Ottinger has not been hot, right? So that being said, let's get to some Stanley Cup playoff predictions. NWO edition brought to you by Mr. X and DraftKings. So we'll start with the East here. We'll go with the most boring series, the series that no one really cares to watch, you know, unless you're a fan of one of these two teams. You know, play these games early morning on a Saturday. On the weekday, play my 5 o'clock. No one really cares to watch it. It's the Canes. It's the Isles. Right now, the Canes do lead the Isles 2-0 in their series. Game one was, you know, Canes were basically dominant the whole game. Game two, Isles had the lead for a majority of the game, and I think it was 3 or 2-0, and then the Canes stormed back and won. What was the score of that game? That was 5-3. So yeah, the Islanders had a 3-goal lead, and the Canes came back 5 straight goals, which is, you know, pretty incredible because the Islanders, they're not an offensive team. They're a defensive team. And for them to give up a lead like that, you know, the Canes are good. The Canes are good. So how I evaluate teams in the playoffs or a series is that I'll evaluate best out of 3 categories. A team's offense, a team's defense, and a team's goaltending. So, you know, the Canes and the Isles, I would say that the goaltending, I'll lean towards the Isles with Sorokin, right? But as for offense and defense, like, that's going to the Canes there, you know. Burns, Slavin, Pesci, D'Angelo. Who else you got there? For forward depth, you got Aho, Svechnikov, Gensel, you know, Seth Jarvis, Kotkaniemi. Like, they're a very deep team. They don't have that superstar, but they're full of star players. So I'm going to say Canes over Isles in 5. Because I'll give the Isles one game. But I'll be shocked if it goes over that. Rangers and the Capitals. I'm going to give all 3 categories to the Rangers. You know, Shesterkin between the pipes. You know, you can't go wrong there. For defense, you know, you got Trouba leading the way on the Rangers' back end with Keandre Miller, not to mention Fox, right? They have a really good defense there. And for forwards-wise, I'm obviously, you know, I prime Ovi, you can't argue against, but Ovi ain't prime no more. Ovi's past his prime. He's just there to score goals now. He's just there to break Gretzky's record in the regular season. Anything extra, like, this year is just gravy for him. But yeah, I'll take the Rangers offense for sure with Panarin, with Zibby, Kreider, right? Capocacco, Lafreniere. I know I'm missing somebody here, but you know, they're a juggernaut in all 3 ways. So I'm gonna say it'll be a sweep. Rangers over the Capitals in 4. Next series, we got the Cats versus the Bolts. Florida versus Tampa Bay. All right, so that's the Battle of Florida there. That'll be a tough one, you know. Tampa Bay, yeah, they're aging. Their core of Stamkos, Kucherov, Point, Hedman, Vasilevsky, they are getting older. But, I mean, they're not up there too up there in age yet. Where, yeah, they're like Detroit, you know, back in the day where – they were a juggernaut for all those years, 20 years with Lidstrom, Datsyuk, Yzerman, you know, the Mule Johan Franzen, like you name it. They had guys for days there on that team. And it's kind of like right now with even between the pipes, you know, Osgood and Dominic Hasek. But right now for Tampa, you have the same kind of thing. You know, Kucherov, he's still in his prime and he's giving her still. Stamkos, you can tell he's aging. I don't think that they're going to re-sign him next year. But and for that reason alone, you know, they're going to try and juice him for all they can in this postseason to see, you know, just one last push with Stamkos. Hedman's playing well. And point two, right? So you look at Florida, right? They're younger, they're hungry. They lost last year. They've been there, but they haven't done it yet, right? So do you have Tkachuk who's hungry? You got Reinhardt, you know, 50 goals this year. Barkov, great two-way player. Sam Bennett, who did leave the game today in game two. We'll watch out for that one. And on their back end, you know, led by Ekblad, you got Brandon Montour, and even a veteran who, like, OEL, you know, Oliver Ekman-Larsson. And then between the pipes, you know, Vasilevskiy's Russian counterpart, Sergei Bobrovsky, Bubtitsky. You can't go wrong with either of those goalies, right? So I think it'll be a coin toss, but I'm going to give it to the Cats because they are hungrier. I'm going to give it to a team that hasn't been there. Sorry, they've been to the final, but they haven't been over the hump yet, right? So they're hungry. They're licking their chops, and I just think that their hunger will, you know, succeed over Tampa's. Tampa's done it twice already. They'll be in the dance for the next couple of years, right? Who knows? They can always get back there. But I'll give it to the Cats in seven. It'll be a tight series. Right now, I do believe that it is 2-0 for the Cats, though, for Florida, for the Panthers. For the Bruins and the Leafs, the last series in the East tier. This is going to be a close one because, you know, I'm trying to take my bias out. I fucking hate the Leafs, but I respect their team, right? I think they have a garbage back end, a garbage defense core, and a garbage, you know, goaltending duo. But their forwards can get it done, right? You got a basically a 70-goal guy there in Matthews, with Tavares, Marner, Nylander, if he can get healthy, you know, he'll be a big contributor in this series, a big factor. And that new, you know, gritty depth that they, you know, have now with from Bertuzzi to Domi to Ryan Reeves, right? That even Brad Marchand went on record saying after game two yesterday, after the Leafs won, this is a different Leafs team. You know, I hate saying it, but, you know, they stand a chance this year to go deep, regardless of their defense and goaltending. But that'll be a big factor, though. So with Boston, you know, they're a very veteran, grizzled team. It's hard to bet against guys like Pasta and Marchand, you know. Their back end is what really, you know, shines for me. You got McAvoy, you got Lindholm, Carlo, Grizzlick, Shattenkirk, right? That's a really good back end there. And it's not even getting to the best part yet. The best part of the Bruins team is their goaltending duo, which is just beautiful. You got Ullmark, and if he's not playing well, you got Swayman, right? So it's kind of a two-headed juggernaut there. I'd be scared because, you know, usually if you chase one goalie, their backup isn't as strong. That's not the case with Boston, right? You chase one goalie, the other goalie that comes in could steal the game, could, you know, start the comeback. That's what I'm scared for if I'm the Leafs. Goaltending, I will obviously give to the Leafs. Defense, I will give to Boston. But forwards, I'm going to give to the Leafs. You know, they're juggernaut forwards. Got to pay them their dues where it's, you know, rightfully so. But I'm going to go Boston in, I want to say six, but it could go seven. But I'm going to say Boston in six. Defense wins chips in the playoffs, right? That's all that matters. And if you can shut down Austin Matthews, then you basically shut down the whole team there. Marner's not really a factor that much. Nylander's out right now, right? Tavares, he's aging, you know. To me, he's kind of like a lower version of Stamkos. He's there, but he's not, right? So that kind of leaves it up to like those guys like Bertuzzi and Domi, right? Can they get it done? That secondary scoring. But yeah, I'll say Boston in six. So now let's hop over to the other conference, the Western Conference. Now, this is going to be, you know, a lot of juggernaut series here. This is what people pay to see. And it's only the first round. So we'll start off with Vancouver and Nashville. So between the pipes, unfortunately today, Vancouver, no, I don't know. Fortunately, unfortunately, whatever, right? I guess unfortunately for the Canucks, fortunately for the Predators, and Oilers fans, I guess. Thatcher Demko will be out, it looks like, for the series. And that's a big chip, you know, that they're missing now for the Canucks. So it's going to be all on Casey DeSmith. As far as defense goes, you know, one team has Roman Josi, one team has Quinn Hughes. I don't do this often, but I'm going to go tie. Draw for the defense, because I mean Roenick, Myers, Zadorov, they're great, but I mean you look at Nashville, they got McDonough, they got, I forget that young guy that just paired with Josi, was it Fabro, right? So I don't know, like, you know what, I'm gonna change that, I'm gonna give it to Vancouver, I'm gonna give respect to their defense. Because I'm going to give the goaltending now to Nashville because of Soros. Right, Soros versus DeSmith. It's no question. It's obviously Soros. But if it was Soros versus Demko, I would have to probably say draw. Right? But that all leads down to the forward depth. And, I mean, Vancouver blows Nashville out of the water. After Forsberg and I guess maybe O'Reilly. Right? Like, they don't really have much there in Nashville. In Vancouver, they're rocking with Patterson, Miller, Besser, the guy they got at Calgary there, what's his name? Forget, Elias Lindholm, right? So, and even like depth guys like Connor Garland, Pod Colson, that Derek Joshua guy, right? Like, guys come out of nowhere for the Canucks. Good for them, you know, it's been a long time, right? So, I hate the Canucks fans, but I'm going to say... Yeah, I'll say Vancouver over Nashville in six. I'll give Nashville two games. Next series, we're going to go Winnipeg and the Colorado Avalanche. So this one, again, like with most series in the West here, it could go the extra mile, right? So right now, this series is tied 1-1 because the Winnipeg Jets have lost game two to the Avalanche tonight, 5-2. After a barn burner of a game in game one, what is it, 7-6? My God, what a game that was. It's hard to compare to that, you know, to even compare that game to game two, but it was a good one for sure. I think that the biggest thing for the Avalanche is, can Georgiev, you know, pull through? Can he stand on his heels and make that save that he's going to need to make? Because as far as goalies go, you know, Georgiev versus Hellebuyck, it's no contest. Hellebuyck all day, every day. Ask anybody, even ask Avalanche fans, they'll tell you. Defense, I'm going to give to the Avalanche because, I mean, Makar, he kind of set the standard, right? He is the gold standard for defensemen right now. Him and Taves are all world. Manson and Girard, very good duo together. They got Sean Walker back there with former Oilers Caleb Jones. So, yeah, I'm going to give the defense for sure to Colorado because I do respect Josh Morrissey, but I mean, after that, Pionk, Stanley, I think they have DeMello there. I think Dylan too, and I'm missing a guy, Nate Schmidt, right? So, I mean, their defense is not bad per se, right? But it's not on the level of the Avalanche. I'll give you that. I'll tell you that right now. And as far as forwards go, boy, are these, this is a tight one right now, but I'm not going to sit on the fence. You know, Colorado with McKinnon and Rantanen and Nichushkin, Casey Mittelstadt, Zach Parise, the addition of Trennan, you know, they got guys there that can, you know, they got secondary scoring along with, you know, basically top tier scoring. There's a lot of players in this league, and not many are better than Nate Dogg, the Nate Dogg, right? So, but however, you know, Winnipeg has superstars as well. No one on the caliber, I think, of McKinnon or Rantanen, but they do have a very deep top six, even top nine, right? So, I mean, they got Scheifele and Monahan. That's a very good 1-2 punch. Monahan's been great since he's been there. Chipped in a lot. And on that left side, you know, with Nick Ehlers and Kyle Connor, right? Kyle Connor's a sniper. Kyle Connor's an all-star. Not an all-star. Kyle Connor's a superstar, right? Ehlers kind of gives me Hemsky vibes a bit, you know? He's not on that, like, tier of Kyle Connor or Mark Scheifele, but he's just, like, a tier below, right? I think he's on the same level as, to be honest, like, Toffoli, his opposite wing on the right side there. And also on the right side, right, you got, thank you, LA Kings, Gabe Vilardi, right? That's a pretty, pretty good top six, right? Like, there's no holes there, I'll tell you that. So just for that, because Winnipeg has them in forward depth, basically, you know, forward talent and between the pipes, I'm going to give the edge to the Jets in seven. Like, that's got to go seven. Like, both these teams are juggernauts, and they're going to beat each other up, right? I can't wait to see who comes out of the Central there, because it's just like a toss-up, right? Like, I think that'd be the hardest bet to make at this point in time. Whereas if you look at the Pacific, you know, like, I think it's a pretty safe bet to say the Oilers, right? I mean, especially with Demko out now. Next, we'll go Dallas and Vegas. So right now, the Dallas Stars trail 1-0 in their series with the Vegas Golden Knights. Funny too, because, you know, all of Vegas' contributors were guys that they got because they basically circumvented the cap, right? They bent the rules a bit. Although the rules were already bent to begin with, right? But they took advantage of it. But again, you know, good for them. If you're not cheating, you're not trying, I guess. It was Mark Stone, it was Hanifin, and it was Hurdle leading the charge in game one, and they came out on top. What was the score of that one? 4-3. Very close, very close, right? Ottinger played the puck. He mishandled it sometimes, right? Same with Logan Thompson. I expect better out of Ottinger. I do. You know, especially with that team defense that they have there for with Dallas. I'm going to give the goaltending to Dallas because of Ottinger. You know, he hasn't had the strongest season, but he's got it in him to play up to the level to win the cup. You know, at least to get out of the Central Division. But for defense, I'm going to give it to the Knights, the Golden Knights, you know. Although the Stars, you know, they're deep on defense with Heiskanen and newly acquired Tanev and Esa Lindell. Who else they got there? That big guy who's akin to kind of Desharnais. What's his name? Let's look him up right now. Hakanpää? Yeah, Yanni Hakanpää, right? And that young guy, too. Thomas Harley. And that old guy, Ryan Suter, right? Like, they got the old, they got the new, they got the in-between. They're looking good. They're looking really good, Dallas, on the back end there. But Vegas is looking better, all right? I'm not really impressed with guys like Nick Hague, although, you know, they do in, you know, they do bring the fight, they bring the toughness. But I'm looking at guys like Pietrangelo. I'm looking at guys like Shea Theodore, Noah Hanifin, right? Not even Martinez, man. I think Martinez will be gone in the offseason. But, I mean, man, those three pillars of Hanifin, Petro, and Shea Theodore, that's a nice defense there. I'm going to give the defense to Vegas there, like I said before. And evaluating the forward group for those guys, I'm going to say I'm going to give it to Dallas, and here's why. I think that Vegas is deep. Like, they're deep lines 1, 2, 3, right? But, I mean, Dallas is deep lines 1 to 4. Dallas, you got freaking Hintz, Robertson, Pavelski, Duchesne, Tyler Seguin, Jamie Benn, right? And then you got that secondary scoring in, like, Marchment. Wyatt Johnson, come on, he's coming on the scene now, right? Logan Stankoven. So, you know, they're primed to make a run here, but it'll be hard to get by Vegas. I won't be surprised if Vegas wins, but I'm going to say Dallas in 7. You know, it'll be close. It'll be close. But right now, we're going to pause and take a message from our sponsor. The chase for the Stanley Cup is on. And if you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. From the start of the playoff periods all the way till hoisting of the cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with the same game parlays, live betting odds, odds boost, and so much more. Wednesday's LA Kings at Edmonton Oilers game 2. The puck line sits at LA Kings minus 166. The Oilers puck line plus 140. The money line for the LA Kings is plus 160. And the money line for the Edmonton Oilers minus 192. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. New customers bet $5 and get 200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. That's 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/ice for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved. And we're back. So we have one series to evaluate left in the Western Conference, and it is the LA Kings and the Edmonton Oilers. Oilers Kings 3. So I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You know, after that absolute ass whooping, LA Kings felt the Oilers all up in their guts, guaranteed. Nuts in their guts. That was a stomping, you know. That was a curb stomp by the Oilers to the Kings. The Oilers are going to leave the Kings far behind. You look at all these series, you know, like each series, each team in the playoffs, you know, they have that one guy or guys, you know, that one special thing about their team, that je ne sais quoi, you know. You look at Nashville even, you know, they have Josi, they have Soros. You look at Dallas, it's Heiskanen, it's Robertson. right? It's Ottinger. You look at even teams like Washington, you know, they still have that Ovechkin factor. You look at where else? Vegas, you know, you got Eichel, their number one center. They're pillars on defense. Who else? Vancouver, you know, Pettersson, Hughes. Every team, Oilers, you know, obviously McDavid, Draisaitl, Bouchard, right? Even Ekholm, for God's sakes, Hyman. But every team has that certain thing about them that makes them special. LA Kings do not have that. They're the one team in the playoffs that do not have that. You look at the forward group, you know, this is not your dad's 2012 Kings anymore. You know, where Kopitar and they had Jeff Carter and Mike Richards and Doughty was a stud, you know, and they had Martinez back then. They were a juggernaut back then. Now they're not, right? They don't have Quick anymore between the pipes. Now they lean on two backups in Talbot and Dave Riddich, for God's sakes. You know, that just makes me, I want to feel bad for the Kings, but I don't. Okay. So I gave the Oilers the benefit of the doubt in every category. You know, as far as defense goes, I give it to the Oilers because of Bouchard and Ekholm, best pairing in the whole league, on par with Makar and Taves. You know, if Nurse can play well, terrific. Desharnais and Kulak, great third pairing. Definitely top five in the whole league. Could be even top three. So defense over for Oilers over the Kings, no doubt. You know, all the respect to Doughty, Gavrikov, Roy, Mikey Anderson, that pussy. But I can't give it to the Kings in any category here. You look at, I just said, you know, goaltending with big save Dave and Talbot. They don't touch what, I mean, their stats were okay this season, you know. But the Kings are a very defensive team. They don't allow many shots on net, or they didn't throughout the regular season. Right. They suppressed a lot of shots. They were good on the PK, but that's not going to save them. That's not going to have to save them against the Oilers. Right. They're not a tougher team either. The Oilers are way tougher than the Kings. The Kings don't really have any fighters, man. Like, we have guys that'll fight you, but you don't want to fight them. Desharnais, 6'7", Evander Kane, Darnell Nurse. You don't want to fight those guys because you're going to lose. It's a losing battle, right? You look at the forward group. I don't even want to talk about forward group because, like, I don't even have to, you know. Good on the Kings for having, like, you know, a decent center depth with Kopitar, Byfield, Danault, PLD, who to me is a fourth line center, you know, at best third line. On the wings, they have some good wingers. You know, Arvidsson to me is kind of like Yamamoto a little bit. He's small, he's feisty, but he's kind of that Yamo kind of guy. Kempe, Fiala, love them. Great players. Am I missing anybody? You know, Trevor Moore, that was a cheap shot on Desharnais there. You know, that should have been, I think, a fine, probably at most. But, I mean, if the Kings are going to go doing that the whole series, they're not winning. You put the Oilers on the power play, they're going to kill you, right? That wasn't even the Oilers' regular power play unit. Like, you know, it was the same guys, but the way they operated was way different, you know? For God's sakes, Joshua was the bumper. Yeah, McDavid on the left side there, right? But that's the thing. Like, they're like no other team, right? They can kill you in almost every way. So it'll be tough sledding for the Kings, you know. I'm going to say Oilers in four. I can't remember when the Oilers swept a team last. I can remember when they were swept last. That was by the Avalanche 2 years ago, right? But this year it looks like, you know, knock on wood, it might be the Oilers doing the sweep and get your brooms out, get your dustpans out, because the LA Kings are fucking garbage. As far as the lines go, you know, I don't know. It'll be a blender, I think. You know, against the Kings, you might not see a bunch of blending because it might be a cakewalk, And, you know, by no means is any team in the playoff a cakewalk, but the LA Kings are a cakewalk. Like, it doesn't get much easier than those guys. The Oilers, I think, won the lottery a bit, right? So they won the lottery now 5 times. Because, I mean, if they can beat the Kings, when they beat the Kings, they're going to play either Vancouver and Nashville. And now with Demko out of the series, you know, like, Nashville has a chance to win this. They're probably not going to, but if they do, can you imagine Edmonton going through LA and Nashville to get to the Western Conference Final? Can you think of an easier path by any team in history? Right? All the respect to Nashville and LA, right? But I mean, the Oilers are on a different level right now. Like, the Oilers are on the tier of those guys in the Central, you know? But thank God we don't have to really go through them. But yeah, I think that if the Oilers can kind of coast to the first round here, maybe they get a couple days off if they finish it early. And they're going to need that rest because, you know, if they do get Vancouver, Vancouver has had their number all year. And I don't like looking too far into the future, but I mean, it is, you know, a podcast, so we have to talk about it. But if the Oilers can get past the second round, make it to the third round against one of those four in the Central, that's when it starts, baby. That's when it starts. Right? That's when it gets exciting. So enjoy the ride, Oilers fans, because I certainly will. I've never been this calm going into a postseason as an Oilers fan. I don't know about the rest of you. Who I'd rather the Oilers play if they make it to the Western Conference Final? I mean, either team you play, whether it be Winnipeg, whether it be Colorado, whether it be Vegas, whether it be Dallas, they're all good teams, right? So, I mean, I'll take any of them because you got to beat at least some good teams to get to the, you know, Cup Final. But yeah, the Oilers have an easy path, man. Let's talk a little bit lineups now. Evander Kane comes out and says openly he has a sports hernia. I am no stranger to this. I've had 2 hernias in my life, one when I was 7, one when I was 21. I can tell you right now, they're nothing to joke about. When I had my sports hernia when I was 21, the doctor said it was about a 6-month healing time. But I was up playing hockey in 3 months. Probably wasn't the best because I could feel some things inside me not heal correctly. And still to this day. Right? So I could, you know, but Ken Holland, I think, could have dealt with this a lot better. People are, you know, making up excuses for him. You don't know the circumstances, this and that. But I mean, what do you really have to know? The guy needed hernia surgery, you know, since halfway through the season. Right? So if you would have put Kane on LTIR, you had an extra $5 million to go out and maybe you didn't have to pay that first round pick for Anaheim to, you know, hide the money for Carrick and Henrique. Maybe you could have got Toffoli, you know, maybe you could have got a proper upgrade on CeCe. But that's neither here nor there, obviously, but it's got to be discussed because, I mean, that just shows Ken Holland, you know. I don't know if it's his age. I don't know if he's clocked out early on the season. But, I mean, there was a missed opportunity there with Kane and his injury. Where that leads me to is now that, you know, is Kane saying these things to, you know, maybe make an excuse if he plays not up to expectations? Right? Like, if he plays not the greatest, he can say, well, I got a sports hernia, you know, like, that's why. But who knows, you know, like, Kane's an oddball. He's a strange guy. He's a very cocky guy. Half the things he does, I don't know why he does them. Right? So, but as for Kane, though, I'd keep him in the bottom six. He played well in game one, but I mean, bigger teams like Vegas, like Dallas, even Colorado and Winnipeg, you know, even Vancouver, man, Like, any team will lean on this guy, and it's not fun when you have a hernia, right? It's hard to be a tough guy when you have a hernia. There's things that can stick out of your side, right? So I would like to see Kane on the third line because, you know, fourth line, they don't get much minutes, right? So I want to see what Kane can do on that third line. What I'm interested to see, you know, I want to see Henrik play well next to McDavid, you know? That's a good line. But I would like to see Nuge, McDavid, Hyman, Holloway, Draisaitl, Corey Perry. So you give Draisaitl that speed with Holloway, you know, that young, raw speed. He's just an up and down player, basically, you know, like he's kind of Taylor Hall like, but grittier, right? And on that right side, you got Corey Perry there, the veteran who goes to the net and gets all those grease goals, right? And Holloway and Perry, both of them are lighting it up or have been lighting it up, you know, at the end of the season there, which is what you want to see, you know. You want to see players finish strong towards the end of the season. And then that leaves Kane, Henrik, and maybe Fogel for the third line, right? Fogel on that right side. He likes playing that right side. And then maybe a fourth line of like McLeod, Brown, and Gagne. You know, I know people want to see Carrick and Janmark and who else is there? Maybe Derek Ryan. But I mean, those guys are like, they're literally the definition of extra forwards, right? This might be Gagne's last kick at the can. So, I mean, put him on that fourth line. You know he's going to give it his all. Gagne's a heart and soul player, right? Same with Connor Brown. You know, yeah, he was snake bitten for a good half the season. But, I mean, you give him the opportunity to produce. I think he's going to produce now in the postseason. I think he can be an important piece. And Ryan McLeod is that young, speedy guy on that line, right? I'm excited for this Oilers team, man. I really am. For the defense, keep it the same, right? Go with what you know. If you're Knobloch there, obviously you're keeping Bouchard with Ekholm on your first pairing there. You're keeping Desharnais with Kulak on that third pairing. By the way, Desharnais is doing fine, even though he took that cheap shot from Trevor Moore. He's skating. He was on the ice with the regular group on Tuesday for practice. And Nurse and CC, I don't want to get into it. Between the pipes, I am more than comfy with Stuart Skinner. My philosophy is, if you're going to see Calvin Pickard, then, you know, things are not going well for the Oilers. But that's kind of it for today, guys. All right. So thanks for listening to the NWO podcast. Shout out to the Hockey Podcast Network and our sponsors at DraftKings and DraftKings Sportsbook. Don't forget to follow us on X at New World Oilers. Good luck to the Oilers in game number 2 on Wednesday night. Hopefully we'll get a post-game coverage going there. This is Mr. X signing off.
Bitches, we the best music. Another one, yeah. DJ Khaled.
Bitches calling my phone like I'm locked up nonstop. From the plane to the fucking helicopter, yeah. Cops pulling up like I'm giving drugs. Nah. I'm a pop star, not a doctor. Bitches calling my phone like I'm locked up nonstop. From the plane to the fucking helicopter, yeah. Cops pulling up like I'm giving drugs. Nah. I'm a pop star, not a doctor. Hey, shorty with the long text, I don't talk. Ay. Shorty with the long legs, she don't walk. Ay. Yeah, last year I kept it on the tuck. Ay. 2020, I came to fuck it up. Yeah, I want a long life, a legendary one.